school to school, home to home, business to business, rounding up people who are undocumented. And we would then have to put them on trains, on buses to get them out of our country.
More news online at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
If you have ever had an email account, shopped online, or used a credit card to make purchases, you are in dire jeopardy of identity theft. You must protect yourself now. Call our partner, ID Lion, at 1-800-941-6844 and sign up now for free. That's right, free. USA Radio Networks and ID Lion want everyone to have identity theft coverage. If you sign up now, we will give you a $50 gift card. Identity theft destroys credit and causes horrible issues for those that are hacked. Don't be a victim. Take advantage of this incredible free offer and sign up now. Call 1-800-941-6844. One out of every four Americans are going to have their identity stolen. Don't let it be you. It'll ruin your good credit score. Get protected and get your free $50 gift card. Call right now, 1-800-941-6844.
The debate last night caused a lot of traffic on Google as people seemed to listen to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton about going to the internet to find out for themselves. A spokesman for Google said Trump's stance on Iraq was one of the top things searched for last night.
Top sort of major moments, if you will, were Trump and Iraq when he actually said to Google it, looking up his stance on the Iraq war. Trump and women at number two, the Second Amendment, number three, the Clinton Foundation at number four, and Trump on nuclear weapons.
The United States has its first new nuclear power plant in over two decades. The Watts Bar 2 nuclear power plant in Tennessee went live today after 3 weeks of intensive testing. The project had been in the works since 1973, but was put on hold for years as construction was finally restarted in 2007. The Tennessee Valley Authority, which operates the Watts Bar 2 nuclear plant, says it'll provide electricity for 650,000 homes in the region. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
A wide range of reactions in New York to last night's debate. We had reporters out talking to various people about what they thought. Here's one of those reports.
Many said they were glad Trump and Clinton were asked about the Supreme Court and constitutional issues like gun control and abortion.
I'm a Trump supporter. I thought his answer could have been a little bit stronger.
She showed more issues that she's interested in. Trump only went with the Second Amendment.
One debate watcher saluted Clinton for her views on immigration reform and thanked Trump and his wall for energizing Latino voters. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
Cuban business leaders are wasting absolutely no time trying to make contacts in the United States now that President Obama has lifted more regulations. Here's the story from Randy Bell.
Mississippi business leaders having a chance today to learn more about trade opportunities with Cuba. The Mississippi Development Authority hosting a business summit in Jackson. Glenn McCullough is MDA's executive director.
We're excited about meeting our guests from Cuba and about exploring ways for Mississippi businesses to work with business leaders in Cuba for mutual benefit.
The new relationship between the U.S. and Cuba, opening doors for more Mississippi companies, and today's summit is aimed at helping them take advantage of those trade and investment opportunities. Randy Bell in Jackson.
For more news and in-depth analysis of today's headlines, visit westernjournalism.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the 100 in Chamber Internet Radio Program. Where do business people get the most up-to-date information and ideas they can use to meet their everyday challenges? Where can they learn trustworthy, real-world, doable strategies and action plans you just won't find anywhere else? Well, it's right here at Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host here on 100 in Chamber Internet Radio. You can listen to this program every Thursday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you miss the live show, you can hear Teachable Moments in Business reruns in the archives. And you'll find the archives listed on the 100 In Chamber Radio website. Business today is changing very quickly at a very rapid pace. And so this program is all about helping business owners and entrepreneurs and employees to learn more information that they can put to use, that they can also share with their colleagues and their friends. In fact, today it's all about being lifelong learners. So this program is really grounded in giving you tips, ideas, suggestions, perhaps challenges that will help you become better and more successful in your business. Now, today we're going to be talking about communication skills. I have a real thing about that. In fact, in November of this year, I'll be conducting a class at Raritan Valley Community College on communication skills. And I think today there's so much that we need to think about when we're communicating. And people are becoming lazy. They're shortening their information, their techniques, probably based on social media and Twitter and texting. And I find it to be very awkward and disappointing, actually. So this program today is dedicated to communication skills. So I hope you have a pencil handy so that you can begin to put into practice some of the tips that we will be providing. But first, we're going to get a message from our sponsors and also hear about the weather.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host. Well, let's take a look at the weather, and we'll look at what's happening today and into this evening and tomorrow. According to the forecast in front of us here, it's mostly cloudy with a high near 73 degrees this afternoon and a slight wind around 6 miles per hour. Now, tonight, we may be experiencing patchy drizzle with a chance of rain before 2 a.m., then a chance of rain after 3 a.m. Areas of fog between 9 p.m. and 2 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 59. The winds will be very slight from 3 to 5 miles per hour, and there's a chance of precipitation at about 30%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch would be possible. Now, tomorrow, we have to get your umbrellas ready because we're looking at showers mainly after 11 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 72. Light and variable wind becoming west around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. And the chance of rain is about 70%. So you might want to keep that raincoat and that umbrella handy. Tomorrow night, the showers are likely, again, mostly cloudy with a low around 45. So it's going to start getting cooler now. We've had excellent warm weather with some gusts of wind up to about 14 miles per hour. And there's a chance of precipitation at about 70% on Friday night. I have to tell you, I was in Portland, Oregon for over 2 weeks and just got back this past Monday. And the weather out there was mild, pretty mild. But it rained almost every day, and we only had a couple days of clear skies. And, in fact, we were located in a place near Mount Hood, and we had a chance to see Mount Hood twice just traveling along the roadway. So we've had actually nicer weather here, apparently, which is great.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
So you're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan. When it comes to communication, the first step is to understand who your target audience is so that you communicate either verbally or in writing with information that's important to them. So you have to focus your marketing efforts on exactly the people who you're most suited to serve. And so a couple of the tips that I have here for you. Learn what people are saying about your businesses and the industry like yours on social media sites like Facebook and LinkedIn, and review sites like Yelp or Google. And those sites may give you some great insight as to what people are looking for, what they're interested in. Also, of course, you can conduct your own surveys. Perhaps you have a list of people that you would like to glean information from, or perhaps you have a list of customers or prospects. Send out a survey using surveymonkey.com, which is free, and this will help you decide what kind of information is important to that target audience. Perhaps it would have something to do with changing your product or service, or perhaps offering specials or discounts that would be important to them. You also need to find out what kind of content people will read and what they will view. Now, it was thought in the past that people would not read very much, but we're beginning to see that people that, especially millennials, they seek so much information before they make a decision. So see if you can find websites that they would be reading. So, for example, you could take the keyword, add plus, and then a forum, or let's say you're interested in finding a dry cleaner. You might say dry cleaning plus blog and put that in quotes, and that might be a way for you to find a blog that deals with dry cleaning. Ask people to share their stories about your products or services, and in fact, if you can ask permission to reprint their information, it would save you a lot of time, and that's I refer to that as consumer-generated media. On your website or in person, ask people to fill out an online or a paper contact form, perhaps in exchange for a free newsletter. So that's called a call to action. In other words, give people reasons to want to know more from you, because in business today, you're not an advertiser, you're a publisher, and it's up to you to educate your target audience by using Facebook or LinkedIn, Twitter or Google+, and these might be places where you can educate them in the area of business that you're connected in, but also it gives them more information about you in a way that they have a level of trust in what you have to say. You can certainly manually search social media sites to find out who the customers are that you want to reach and find out what's important to them, and you can even see how many friends and contacts they have. Also, use LinkedIn for groups that relate to your business or industry. I really think that LinkedIn is underutilized by many people. LinkedIn is considered by many to be a B2B social media site. But in fact, it's a B2C and it's a C2C. So, for example, I'll give you an example. My hobby is metal detecting, and there's actually a metal detecting group on LinkedIn. So think about it. The people that are communicating on that metal detecting group are C2C people. But it wouldn't surprise me if metal detecting manufacturers and distributors would be reading the dialogue between the consumers who are connected on that web, in that group. Also, assemble all information you have about your target customers in terms of what motivates them, their age, their gender, their location. Also, it's a good idea to know who they connect with, because sometimes we have difficulty reaching the target audience that we're best suited to serve. And by reaching out to the people that know people, that's a way that you can begin to communicate and to get some pull-through marketing exposures. And then put perhaps the different customers have different ways to be connected. So some people prefer social media, some prefer direct mail or email. So who is your target audience? What's important to them? And then as you're communicating, use some keywords that are going to resonate with that audience.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business on the Hunterdon Chamber radio station. And I'm happy that you've joined us today. We're talking about communication skills that I have a really strong desire to help people clarify their messaging and also to build a trust and to attract customers that they're best suited to serve. And in fact, I will be holding a communication class at Raritan Valley Community College in the evening in November. The classes are held at a remote location near Bridgewater Mall. So if you want to find out about the class and to register, go on to the SBDC at rvcc.com. That's Small Business Development Center at Raritan Valley Community College. And the classes are really relatively inexpensive. My classes are very interactive. Everybody has a good time. They go away and they learn a lot. Actually, I learn a lot from my students as well. So please take advantage of that program. Now, I mentioned that in order to communicate clearly with your audience, you have to understand them. So the first segment that I got into today was just giving you suggestions on how you might learn about your clients. Now, I had an interesting experience yesterday. I'm a member of the BIG, which stands for Believe, Inspire, and Grow. It's an organization of women business owners. Many of them are brand new entrepreneurs, and they have excellent speakers that talk at their meetings, which are located throughout the state of New Jersey. I'm a member of the Chester Long Valley group. Yesterday they had a speaker whose name is Andrea Lovis, and her name of her business is Eloquence Writing. She gave me permission to use her material, which in fact I'm going to be using it, some of this material, in my class in November, in addition to a lot of other things, because she only talked for about an hour. I have a chance to present for 3 hours in my programs. So she talked about writing for your business and communicating with people, and I found it to be very enlightening. And if you come to my class, you'll learn more about the concepts that she introduced. But she talked about business writing is any writing that you do on behalf of your business to communicate with internal and external audiences. So your communication and writing would be emails, reports, proposals, memos, letters, and marketing materials. And it's very important that you develop your approach to meeting the needs of your audience. So the concept today is content marketing. In other words, it's a strategic marketing approach focused on creating and distributing valuable, relevant, and consistent content to attract and retain a clearly defined audience, and ultimately to drive profit customer action in your direction. So she talked about the types of written materials that you might be creating. It could be landing pages on a website. It could be your e-newsletters, blogs, white papers, e-books, case studies, which I think are really important, as well as press releases. And you really have to have an ongoing exposure of these kinds of materials in business today because, as I had said earlier in my introduction, business is working at a very fast pace. So the point here is that what can content marketing do for you? It helps to establish you as a trusted expert, and it helps you to build a base of subscribers and to attract your target audience. And in the process, you're building brand awareness and hopefully attracting, retaining, and really selling those customers, or at least getting word of mouth so that you can begin to build exposures by their help, actually. And, of course, with the right words, although I don't know that having all the right words in any of these documents is most important, but it does help to boost your search engine ranking. The most important thing is to talk in the language of the customers that you want to address. And in the process of presenting information about your business, you're helping people make educated decisions that would be beneficial to them. So, and again, today, it's a matter of educating and informing and not necessarily selling. So your audience is, there are three elements that come together for the great piece of content that you're going to be creating in any of these venues. So it would be the interest of your audience. It would be your brand story. Everybody likes a story, so we want to know more about your company, but also your unique perspective or content. So altogether, that helps you to develop the great piece of content and when all those points come together. So content marketing best practices include getting the word out, repurposing content, creating a mix of content, defining your audience each time you create new content, also relentlessly question the value of your content. So less may be more or not. We do know that some people will read a lot of content when they're really, really interested in exploring products or services. But keep in mind that you're writing for the people and not the search engines. Another point is that you have to measure. That's an important thing that I think people do forget. You always have to measure it in order to determine your return on the investment. So set goals and give people reasons to contact you. And in that process, you will begin to learn what's reaching your marketplace and what's not reaching them. So, again, you want to always measure to make sure that you're on the right track. So one of the suggestions that she had was that you have a content marketing calendar. So, for example, this was a suggestion that she had. Let's say your topic is getting your yard ready for springtime. So week one might be a blog post where you tasks you need to tackle in the month. In the second week, you might have a newsletter by announcing company news, a review of new gardening products, perhaps a list of handy annuals that can be planted at that time. Week three might be a case study that explains how a certain client was able to develop their spring landscaping project and what the results were. And then week four might be a blog post on the topic of it's all about weed and feed products. What she's doing is what I call a full circle approach. You have to surround your target audience with an awareness of you. There has to be continuity in the messaging. So her suggestion really fulfills that my recommendations in terms of your approach. Strong content in your material would be useful, educational, and informative. And again, you want to help your audience make informed buying decisions. And also in that education process, it's a good idea to identify problems and the solutions that you have to offer. And of course, you want to make it easy to read and to understand. So in order to make content easy to understand, consume, small bites of information are as important as opposed to long paragraphs. And it's a good idea to use numbers or bullet points in a document because it makes it easier to read. And, of course, if you can put in subheadings, it's easier for people to scan down a document to find those sections of the document that would be relevant to their particular interests. Consider a casual professional tone, a straightforward language, and you don't have to have a lot of unnecessary words and phrases. Vary the sentence structure and make sure that you do spell checks and that there are no errors in whatever it is that you have written. So very important to develop your approach. Remember, you're writing for the reader and you're speaking for the listener. So one of the other things that she got into, which was really interesting, was the how people write in terms of their command of the English language and subject and verb agreements and things like that. So, for example, she had a couple examples which are really neat. Here's a sentence that is incorrect followed by the correct sentence. So here's the incorrect one. The use of cell phones and pagers are prohibited, when in fact you should have said the use of cell phones and pagers is prohibited, because the word use is dictating the verb. So the use of cell phones and pagers is prohibited. Another mistake that people would make in a sentence would be, is it the sun or the heat that bother you more? The correct statement would be, is it the sun or the heat that bothers you? Because it's a plural, that bothers you more. Is it one or the other that bothers you? Here's another one. The sandwich and pickle looks delicious. The correct statement would be the sandwich and pickle look. In other words, they look delicious. So you start listening. You really have to read what you've written to make sure that it makes sense. Here's one. The children went to sleep in their crib. Well, it sounds like all the kids were sleeping in a crib. The children went to sleep in their cribs. Here's another one. The two minions took a banana and began eating it. It sounds like they're all eating the same banana. Instead, the statement should be, the two minions each took a banana and began to eat. So she talked about punctuation and apostrophes in sentences. It's just interesting that people do not use correct grammar quite often, both in writing as well as in speaking. In fact, the things that really drive me nuts is when I hear somebody say to me, me and my mom did such and such. Dad and me went run a business. You got to put the other person first. Restate. And I think that people that are concerned about proper grammar, who hear someone who's using improper grammar, will have less, perhaps have a lesser opinion of that individual. So pay attention to your speaking skills as well as your writing skills, and I think you'll find that business will be much more successful for you.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Let's take a look at the extended weather forecast to see where we're what we're looking at the weather. I have mentioned to you that Friday it looks like there's going to be showers mainly about after 11 a.m. with a potential 70% precipitation. The showers are likely Friday night, mostly cloudy, around 45 degrees, and we may have as much as a quarter to a half inch of rain as possible. Now, Saturday, again, there's a chance of showers. It'll be partly sunny with a high near 54, northwest wind 15 to 17 miles per hour with gusts up to 29 miles per hour. So hold on to your hats. Chance of precipitation is 30%, and again, we could have up to a quarter of inch of rain. Now, Saturday night, it's going to be partly cloudy, and it's going to get colder, down to 39 degrees. Sunday will be mostly sunny with a high near 59. So if you're going to do something this weekend, it sounds like Sunday is the time to do it. And then Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 42 degrees.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home sweet home.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The justices that I'm going to appoint will be pro-life. They will have a conservative bent. They will be protecting the Second Amendment.
Donald Trump, during last night's presidential debate, talking about the kind of justices he would support on the Supreme Court, he said judges would have to uphold the Constitution as written by the founders. Clinton's response was that judges should support the American people.
The Supreme Court needs to stand on the side of the American people, not on the side of the powerful corporations and the wealthy.
Trump's running mate Mike Pence on the campaign trail, continuing the campaign's theme of alleging media bias. Pence saying sometimes it's almost more than he can take.
It's been two on one every day with the national media doing half of Hillary Clinton's work for her. Some mornings I got to turn on the television with a stick.
Get more news online at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Have you ever come home from work to find out that the power's out? You reach the power company and they inform you that it'll be out for another 8 hours. Panic sets in. You've been told to prepare for this before. Bottled water, radio, flashlight, easy to prepare meals. And for the next 8 hours, everyone is on edge. No AC, no TV, no hot dinner tonight. What will happen to your family if this same situation were to last 2 days, a week, or even a month?
This is Colonel Rusty Humphreys to tell you about Heaven's Harvest. Heaven's Harvest has long-term storable food and water products that will ensure your family's well-being through any man-made or natural disaster. Don't wait for the power to go out. Go to HeavensHarvest.com and secure your family's well-being today. That's HeavensHarvest.com or call 800-516-4773. Again, 800-516-4773. HeavensHarvest.com. Use promo Rusty and receive free shipping. HeavensHarvest.com. That's HeavensHarvest.com.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for today. You may not know, may not have heard me say this in the past, but I own Califon Connection LLC with a couple of DBAs. My one DBA, which I've had for 40 years, is Animal Brands. We're manufacturers reps in the pet supply industry. So if you are interested in getting into the pet industry, come for an interview and we can talk about what it takes to get started in this business. I have experience with manufacturing, distribution, and retail. And I'm an independent sales agent, so it's an interesting business to be in. In fact, when I got into it, the pet industry was literally multi-million dollars. Now the statistics indicate that the industry will be $60 billion this year. Now we're talking about a food, it's mostly food-driven because of the cost of pet food and the increase in pet parents owning dogs and cats. So it's an exciting industry. It's a kind of business you get into that's hard to get out of, to tell you the truth. My second business is Rushmore Mentoring Group, and this is a business where I do public speaking, consulting, and speaking. I said speaking and public speaking, same thing. And I teach classes for the Small Business Development Centers at Raritan Valley Community College. I've also been a speaker at the national SBDC conferences, which are held in different parts around the country. So I have come in contact with counselors and directors. So it's challenging to speak in front of your peers in a situation such as that. Our third business is called Rushmore Marine, and we sell floating docks called Connected Dock, and this is for people who have waterfront property. So these are three very distinctly different businesses, but the concepts in running these businesses are the same. It's a matter of knowing your target audience. It's a matter of surrounding your target audience with an awareness of your business, giving them reasons to do business with you, and being very consistent in your marketing outreach. So these are tips and experiences that enable me to do counseling. And I've literally counseled thousands of people over the years, for the last 15, 16 years for sure. And people walk away with doable information. The information I share is not really from the textbook per se, but it's from real-world experiences and the studies that I do. I'm also a certified guerrilla marketing coach, and I've been trained in professional selling skills by Xerox Corporation, which was always considered to be the best place to learn your selling skills. Now, we've been talking about communication, verbal and written, but I also wanted to talk about a few other areas in communication, one of which is body language. It's interesting to me that people don't realize that the first thing that your audience sees is how you walk, how you stand, how you position yourself, and whether or not you show a sense of pride and determination, or whether you might be meek and mild. I heard a presentation recently where the speaker kept leaning on the table. And then actually women are especially vulnerable to standing with their legs crossed. So when you are in front of people, look really determined and look. I mean, if you were a speaker and had a chance to give it to address an organization, you need to walk into the room to look like you're the speaker. And if people don't say to you, "Oh, are you the speaker?" then something's missing. So how you look, how you dress, all of this has an effect on your presence and on your brand identity, really. Everybody's a brand. We all are a brand. So watch that body language. One time I heard an attorney speak, and she leaned against a pillar in the room the entire time she spoke. I saw another attorney recently who, again, leaned on the table, legs crossed, and looked very, very awkward. And if you want to attract customers and an audience, and to get referrals, you have to look like you're the professional, and you have to walk the talk, so to speak. Now, speaking, another area that is a big concern to me is what I call weak speak. I've heard of somebody give a talk recently that showed PowerPoint presentations, and by the time that person got into the fourth or fifth slide, I realized that she kept saying, Well, I started counting the ums. There were 14 ums that she said just looking at one slide. So it's a good idea to test yourself, to record your presentation so that you can hear yourself using words that, such as, you know what I mean, or I guess, I think. I just did an . You have to get away from that. Sometimes when I'm giving talks to women groups, I ask them what kind of business they're in. Often I will hear them say, well, I'm trying to start a such and such business. And my response to that is, are you trying or are you really doing it? Trying doesn't sound very definite. Or somebody may give you a response, I think that's what you need to have. Well, do you think or do you know? Another word that I learned recently was the word just. So especially women, I think, are more vulnerable to this. But if you call somebody on the phone and you say to them, I was just wondering such and such, take the word just out of that. So that's all called weak speak. Now we get into email structures, do's and don'ts, and that's another one of my pet peeves. So I have some tips for you on your emails. For starters, make sure that you have a signature line on your email. It's amazing how many people will put their name at the end of an email, but they don't put the name of their company, their title, their phone numbers, their ways of contacting them. One time I tried to reach out to somebody, it was even from Rutgers University, and the person said to me, oh, I need to talk to you about such and such. So I looked on the bottom of the email, there was no phone number. It took me a while to figure out how to get hold of that person. And I said, you don't put your phone number on here. I just wanted to talk to you. I didn't want to have to send you back an email to respond because there was more that I wanted to say. And she apologized, but I said, are you proud? I said, what kind of job do you have? What is your title? She told me what it was, and I said, are you proud of the title you have and the work that you do at Rutgers? And she said, yes. I said, well, then put it down there on your email. And then from that point forward, she actually did. I've also seen emails that list on the bottom activities that the writer is engaged in. Perhaps you're giving a talk somewhere or you've published a book or an article. You could put information about that at the bottom of the email because that helps to reinforce your brand identity. So here are some tips to bring emails in line with customer needs and to increase your sales. And what I'm sharing with you here actually did appear in the 100 in Chamber newsletter, which you may or may not get. I'm not sure when this newsletter was published, but they have great articles in there. So I'd like to share with you this information because there'll be some points that you can pick up to reinforce your business. So chances are you do get a lot of emails every day, and you want to make sure that that if you're sending out an email, you want people to read it. So it doesn't matter how much people like or trust you if they don't think of your business when they're in the market for your product or service. They won't buy from you. So emails is a great way to keep in touch with people, but it has to be done correctly. So here are a few tips that you may be able to use in your day-to-day communication. First of all, start with a catchy subject line. The two most important things in getting someone to click on your email is sender and subject. If it's a sender they don't know, chances are they will be wary of even opening the email. If it's a salesy subject line, they may trash it. So be very careful in that subject matter. Sort of pique their curiosity by saying something that's familiar or interesting, and avoid spam words so that your email doesn't get kicked out. Now, writing long documents is probably a no-no in email. So maybe you're the greatest writer of all time, but email is not the place to showcase. In fact, I know a woman who sends out emails, and the messages are so long, I don't even bother to open them up because I know I won't have the time to read and digest her messages. You can even create bold or underlined or italicized keywords for maximum interest and attention grabbing. I've also used color in my emails if I do it as an HTML. You also don't want long emails because of a very large proportion of people access their emails from their phones nowadays. So scrolling down over and over can become irritating, and recipients may abandon your email before they get to the point. Then give them something to do. This is interesting. Always have a call to action on your business email. And by the way, as I said earlier today, a call to action will help you to measure the responses that you get to see if the return on the investment that you've made in doing whatever it is you're doing is actually worthwhile. So you want to make it clear to people what you want them to do. Say it more than once in multiple ways through a button, text link, throughout the copy. This allows people who are ready to do what you've asked them to do, that they're ready to do it before they move on. And if they're excited after only a few lines of skimming, you want them to be able to act. Then bullet points are also great for easy reading. So if you have more than three things to convey, use a bulleted list. People are less likely to miss the details when you construct a long sentence of items separated by commas. So take command. The writer of this article said that they partner with a lot of solopreneurs and freelancers, and the writer said that when we have a client who needs services out of our market area, or we simply can't take on another project, we turn to one another to meet the needs of our clients. So the writer said that a big pet peeve was working with these solopreneurs and asking if they're available to work. That's when they respond, "Sure, I'm happy to help." It bothers me because it's not a help. It's a paid opportunity for more business. So help is so passive. It's like the word try. Maybe it will work, maybe it won't. We're going to try and help you. So there's some weak speak right there. So take command. Don't make the mistake in your emails. Take ownership of the sales cycle. Don't be passive and tell them to contact you if there's anything you can do to help. That's another thing that drives me nuts. If you are a serious salesperson, you have to take the lead in reaching out to the people with whom you have communicated. And the final tip is you can spend a lot of time learning how to write good copy, and you should, but one of the most important things in crafting a good email message is providing value to your audience. Personalize the message whenever possible. Make them feel like you're speaking only to them. Present them with information they find valuable, and your open rates will be higher. Oh, and I just realized who wrote this was Christina Green. And I don't know where she's located, but that's who wrote this article for the publication. Now a word from our sponsor.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, Teachable Moments in Business. So we've talked about communication skills that include writing and speaking and written concepts that you can use to be more successful in your business so that you appeal to the target audience that you're best suited to serve and that you'll attract them. So I came across an article that I thought you might find to be interesting, and it's 10 ways to make sure you don't have enough business. So here you go. Does it sometimes seem that a business makes it so difficult or unpleasant to deal with that apparently it doesn't need to want your business. So here are 10 irksome oversights that have caused us to give up on a provider and find another source. So here's one way to, the first of 10 ways to lose your business. Don't provide readily available contact information. Take, for example, if you go to websites, quite often there is a contact button that you can push, but all you see is a form to be filled out. You have to be as readily available as possible to meet the needs of your target audience. That means on a contact page, have the contact names, their email addresses, their phone numbers. You can have the form to fill out. That's fine. But just to have the form, I personally think that if a company doesn't make it easy to reach them by telephone and you don't know who the owners are, that I think that they're trying to hide something. So how readily available do you want to be? What about business cards? Some business cards, I go to a lot of trade shows. I'm amazed at how many business cards either don't have the name on them, they don't have the correct phone number, they don't have area codes or zip codes, they don't have street addresses, no titles. I can talk to somebody at a trade show. I promise to send them information, and as they walk away, I look at the card and I realize they didn't give me all their contact information. So make it as easy as possible for people to reach out to you. There should be at least three ways to reach you. Telephone, it could be a cell phone, it could be texting, it could be email, it could be a fax, whatever, but make it easy for somebody to get hold of you. The next one is to make it hard or impossible to talk to a live human being. Recorded messages and Q&As often failed to address the unique issues of potential customers. And I personally had that problem. I tried calling, I think it was CenturyLink. Oh, no, Comcast. I just tried to call Comcast last night. They asked me to fill out a survey before even talking to me, and the survey wanted to know what I thought of their website and their communication. And I said, well, I don't know. I haven't talked to you yet. But I could not get a warm body on the telephone. And finally they said, well, if you need to know more information, go to the website. And I did to the website, and I was back into a round robin again. So make it easy for people to get to you. People want to have a warm body to talk to. And having these recorded messages that are not user-friendly and responses that you have to give verbally but that don't seem to get you to the people that can help is very, very, very awkward and discouraging, actually. Here's the next one. Disconnect a customer who has been waiting on hold. Having this happen after getting transferred to a third person makes matters even worse. And I have to say, again, this round-robin business with telephones, how many times do you make a phone call, somebody says, yeah, I can help you out, and then you explain the issue that you're facing, and they'll say, oh, well, I have to tell somebody, I have to transfer you to someone else. So that someone else has to hear the entire story once again. Often I'll say, well, do you know why I'm calling? And, of course, they'll say no, and it all starts all over again. So here's another one. Use personnel who know nothing about your product or service. Often customers need more than someone who will just write up an order. In my industry, I work with companies that hire new employees, and I often call the office for a particular reason. And the person answering the telephone said to me, "Who are you? What's the name of your business?" And I say, "Well, I've been a sales agent for your company for 15 years." The management doesn't tell the people who are answering the phone who the callers might be. So I'm being treated like a stranger, and it's very awkward. It's not very nice, actually. Another downer, so to speak, is to have employees answering the phone who have no idea how to direct a customer to the business, to the right person in the business. Sometimes GPS can be misleading or simply unable to find a locale. So whoever answers really needs to know where the business is located. That's interesting because I've called people and asked how to get to their offices, and they can't tell me. They don't know the names of the roads. They tell me they've never been in that direction, or they don't know the signposts on the different roads. So make it easy for people to get hold of you and to reach you. Another way to lose business is to stick with a cold, rude front desk or stone phone gatekeeper. If people consistently complain about such employees, they will put up with it just so long. And I mentioned I had been in Portland, Oregon for 2 weeks, and everybody was so nice in Portland. That had people in the airport, even the metal detecting people, the people that we met in restaurants, service providers, they were all very pleasant. When I came home, I had to make a phone call to somebody in northern New Jersey, and I was like right back into an attitude. And what a difference it was between the people we met in Portland versus sometimes the people that we run into here on the East Coast. Another way to lose business is to take phone calls, text, email, or scan your computer screen while meeting with customers or clients. Technology makes this all too tempting, but it's disconcerting and inconsiderate. So if you have a customer, give them your attention. Don't break away from them. See what you can do to make sure that you have a consistent connection with that customer. Another one is hype your business so frequently and aggressively that folks run for the hills. There are some people that are too overwhelming and overburdening when it comes to promoting their businesses. Too many social media posts to the point that people just don't want to know anymore. They want to ignore. Another one is don't return phone calls or emails promptly. And in fact, if you take a message, you should be able to say to somebody, I will call you within a certain period of time, so that they know that you've heard them and that they can expect to hear from you within a certain given period of time and not have to wait. And then the last point was keep pressing folks to add more and more to their purchase. Upselling is fine within bounds, but you know, really, enough's enough. So these are some of the more egregious actions of businesses that really chase business away. And it's very important that management really train their employees. In fact, we've seen many times where the people in a business are sort of nasty, and some come to find out so are the owners. So it all really, we're talking about top down here. This is where it all begins. So we're coming to a conclusion on this program. I want to thank you for listening to Teachable Moments in Business. If you have questions or concerns, or you wish to participate in this program to be interviewed, please send me an email at teachablemomentsinbusiness@gmail.com, and you'll also find Teachable Moments in Business on Facebook. So we hope that this has been enlightening for you, and that you will be able to put into action some of the many things that we've talked about today. We've covered quite a lot. So thank you, and have a great week and a great weekend.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Be sure to attend the Business and Home Expo conducted and sponsored by Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. It will be held in November, on Thursday, November 10th. It's a great expo. You absolutely should not miss it. You have an opportunity to meet businesses located throughout the area. And there's a great showcase of food that begins at 5 o'clock. So the event actually starts at 2, 7, and 5 o'clock is when you'll have opportunities to taste some wonderful food from local restaurants. And this will be held at the Hunterdon Central High School, and that's again on November 10th on Thursday. Thank you.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The justices that I'm going to appoint will be pro-life. They will have a conservative bent. They will be protecting the Second Amendment.
Donald Trump, during last night's presidential debate, talking about the kind of justices he would support on the Supreme Court, he said judges would have to uphold the Constitution as written by the founders. Clinton's response was that judges should support the American people.
The Supreme Court needs to stand on the side of the American people, not on the side of the powerful corporations and the wealthy.
Trump's running mate Mike Pence on the campaign trail, continuing the campaign's theme of alleging media bias. Pence saying sometimes it's almost more than he can take.
It's been two on one every day with the national media doing half of Hillary Clinton's work for her. Some mornings I got to turn on the